Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that we can come to your word. We thank you that your word is truth. We thank you that it is inspired, it is infallible, and that every word of it will come true. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be at work as your word is proclaimed, that you would accomplish the work that you have intended. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, it is good to be back here in church, number one. I feel like I've been gone for about a month. But it's also good to be back to preach God's word to you. And certainly I thank you as a congregation for your generosity in giving me my health leave, which was very necessary if I am going to continue. Also, your generosity and in financial giving as well, which has provided for our needs. And we thank God for you. So as I return back into ministry after 3 months gone, I had a good meeting with the deacons on Thursday, and my focuses going forward for now are going to be preaching Sunday morning and evening, leading prayer meeting as well. But also, besides that, I really want to spend my time connecting with our community. People in our community, definitely, but also ways that we can do good and serve our community. So those are things that I feel like I need to do as your pastor, and that's what I'll be focusing my time on as in ministry now. Our plan for our sermon series coming up here, we are going to go through Psalm 119, which, if you know it, it is 176 verses. So we'll do a section or two at a time. Today we're going to do one section, 8 verses. And in the evening in the evening service, we're going to do the book of Revelation. So I'm excited about this, and so I hope this will be an encouragement to us as a church. So I encourage you to grab your Bibles and turn to Psalm 119. And let me read for us our text today, which is the first 8 verses. Psalm 119. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. So before we go into those 8 verses, I want to give 2 points of introduction to the psalm. So number one, Psalm 119 is an alphabetic acrostic delighting in God's word. An alphabetic acrostic delighting in God's word. Really, Psalm 119 is a work of art. Now, if you are not familiar with the psalm, I encourage you to read it this week in one sitting if you're able to. This psalm is divided into 22 sections of 8 verses each, and each verse corresponds with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Most Bibles will put the letter above this section, and our section today is Aleph, or the kind of A in the Hebrew alphabet. And in each section, each verse begins with the same letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, this is quite impressive. It would probably be impossible to do in English because of how English works, but I'm sure it was very difficult to do in Hebrew. So this was a labor of love, but also in the structure and in the labor, you see a delight in God's word, which I think is awesome. So for those people out there who like structure and order and like to geek out about grammar, you also can delight in things as well. So as you read through our psalm, you'll see different words that refer to God's word. Precepts, commands, statutes, judgments, and more, all referring to the word that God has given us in the Bible. Number two, Psalm 119 is the intersection of God, His Word, our hearts, and our prayer. So this is not some stuffy dissertation on God's Word. It's not like some scribe geeked out over the Hebrew alphabet and went nuts, and we have Psalm 119. This psalm is personal, like many of the psalms. It's the intersection of God, His Word, our hearts, and our prayer. You know, it would be easier for us if this psalm was just a treatise, a dissertation on God's Word. Then we could say, oh, that's interesting, and walk away. But in fact, Psalm 119 is much more about our hearts and our prayer lives than we would like to admit. It has very specific things to say about what we know, what we do, what we love, and what we feel. Really, Psalm 119 is a conversation of the believer, the author, and God. This is a conversation with God about His Word. If you notice, many of the verses are direct prayers to God. You can notice verse 5. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. And you'll, as we go through Psalm 119, we'll see cries and prayers to God about His Word. So as we go through this psalm, I don't want us to say, oh, that's interesting about the alphabet, you know. Oh, those are some interesting synonyms for God's Word. No, this is to change the way we feel, act, pray, and read the Bible. So I thought the best way to cover then our 8 verses this morning is to talk about 3 themes in our text. And then I want to apply this to us by covering 3 struggles that we have in obeying God's Word. So 3 themes in our text. Number 1, walking in God's way. Walking in God's way. So God is very concerned about how you live. So your way or your walk is just describing your life. Not just what you do on Sundays, but how you live every moment of every day, wherever you are. Our way needs to follow God's way. Notice verses 1, 3, and 5. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. That's talking about the path that God wants us to walk, the way. Who walk, that's our life, in the way of in the law of the Lord. Verse 3, they also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Verse 5, oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. So God wants our life style, our way, to be undefiled. That's what verse 1 says. Some of your translations may have blameless as well. One commentator translated blameless or undefiled as integrated. It's not a word you normally find in the Bible. But God wants you to have an integrated life. All the parts of your life together as one. See, what happens as sinners, we have these parts of our lives that are not submitted to God. And we all know we have those areas of our lives that if fellow Christians found out about them, we would be embarrassed. That's an unintegrated part of your life. And a person who is walking with God wants to take all those parts that are not submitted to God and bring them under God's law. Obviously, God sees your whole life. And His work in your life is to bring out all the parts of your life together under His Word. I believe it's later in the psalm, Psalm 86, where the psalmist cries out, "Unite my heart to fear your name." Do you ever feel like as a Christian that your heart's divided between God and something else? Between God and sin? And that's what God is at work, to integrate us, to be blameless, so that our hearts, our lives, are committed wholly to Him. So the blameless or integrated life is one where each part of our lives are submitted to God. So number two, second theme in our psalm, guarding God's law. So through here, did you notice how often keep is used? I think it's four times. And this word is the same word as used of guarding something, like guarding a castle or guarding a prisoner. I believe this shows the seriousness that we are to have when we obey God's word. Notice verse 2. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies. Verse 4. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Verse 5. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. And then verse 8. I will keep your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. I've noticed in this part of the country that some people are very, very serious about their guns. Not only serious about guarding themselves with guns, but also guarding their collection of guns that they have accumulated as well. So if you have a lot of guns, you need to put them in a safe or multiple safes because you run out of room in the first safe and you need a second safe. But then you need guns outside your gun safes to protect you in case anyone comes to your house to try to steal the guns out of your safes. And do you notice also that maybe you've met one of those people that has like a hidden panel in each room where they have like an arsenal hidden behind? You lift off the coffee table and there's like a Tommy gun under there. Stay out of my house, you know. But maybe that's not you, but maybe you know someone like that. But you see how serious they are about guarding themselves and guarding their collection. And maybe you're not into guns, but you know when you're serious about protecting something, about guarding something, something valuable to you. And I think, dear friends, that we need to have that same seriousness when we are guarding God's law. I see in my own life I can be very apathetic and lazy when it comes to obeying certain of God's commands. Now, this is serious. We are to keep and guard the word that God has given us, to keep it as he has commanded. Then the third theme that we have is diligence in keeping God's word. Diligence in keeping God's word. Notice how passionate and exclusive he is. Verse 2. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. Verse 4. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Verse 6. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. Notice here in verse 4, the word diligently. This is the same word found in the greatest command. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Same word as diligently, that strength. And really, the best way to translate it is would be just that the effort, diligence, giving all you've got toward keeping God's commands, or in this case, in other cases, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So the last point would be number two, was our vigilance in keeping God's word. This point is the energy that we give in keeping God's commands. God is not just concerned that we read and understand his word. It is to be obeyed. That would be kind of the main point that I want you to get today. It's not just that we read and understand. It must be obeyed. So I want to take some time and apply that to us and talk about three struggles that we might have in obeying God's word. Okay? Part of our understanding our struggle, my struggle, is understanding ourselves. I think it's the Bible exposes, it reveals not only God, but also exposes our hearts and how we act and think. So how do you get along with God and his word? How are you doing? How do you and God's commands get along? As we go through Psalm 119, you will find help in how you think, what you do, and how you feel. So thinking, doing, and feeling. As I've gotten to know myself and others over the years, I have found that each of us has a tendency to gravitate toward one of these things: knowing, doing, or feeling. It's obvious we all do those three things. We all know, do, and feel. But often, one is predominant in how we live. So let me give you an example of shopping. So if you are a person who has a tendency to really, really want to know things, and you're going shopping, you got to have your list, because it's not worth shopping without a list. You have to have your coupons. They got to be clipped. You plan your route to the store so you can only make right-hand turns. You know the best prices for what you're buying. And if you could, you would plan it all and then send your spouse out shopping. You know, the enjoyment is planning and knowing the best prices. Now, if you are a doer, you want to plunge into the shopping just to get it done so you can move on to the next thing in your list. You don't care if you have to go back in 2 days. You just want to go do it. Then you can move on to supper and the chores and to whatever else you have planned that day. Now, if you have a person who likes a tendency toward feelings, the weather's got to be nice if you're going shopping, because that would just, rain would ruin the experience. And you need lots of time, because you need to have the allowance and leisure to experience the sights and smells and to look at all the bargains. If the avocados are subpar or if the cashier is rude to you, you might as well stay at home. This would ruin the entire experience. Okay, let's take this a little bit closer to God and His Word. Why do you come to church? Now, the knower, person who likes to know things, is not satisfied unless they find out something new about the Bible. The Sunday school teacher or the preacher better have something exciting to say about Greek grammar or the background of the Corinthian church, something they have not learned before. Your church experience is based on the quality of what you learned that day. Now, the doer might wonder, why do I come to church? I have to sit for how long? I just want to go and do something. Or maybe you're just happy that you can check church off your list. Like, got the church thing done, so I can go and do the rest of my list today. And the thing is, the doer might have a hard time feeling the right things about church while they're in church. Now, the person who focuses on feelings may judge the quality of the church on their experience. The pastor should have witty illustrations and penetrating insights into the text. The hymns should be good, even so good that you might shed a few tears as your favorite hymn is played. The conversations should be pleasant, if not even sparkling. So you can see, maybe you feel like you're one of those people, or if you have a tendency toward one of those. So let's take these three ways, knowing, doing, and feeling, and relate them to how we obey God's word, okay? Number one, knowers, they can struggle to do what they know. Can struggle to do what they know. So this is where I am. It is easy for me to equate biblical knowledge with spiritual maturity. I spent 7 years of my life studying the Bible full-time in college and graduate school. Like, I should be a really mature Christian because I know lots about the Bible. But frankly, if you know lots about the Bible and stop there, all you've got is a really big head. And Satan knows more about the Bible than all of us combined. And wait, he's not a mature Christian. Definitely not. Psalm 119 begins not with the blessing of knowing, but the blessing of doing and obeying God's word. Again, verses 1 and 2, this is how the psalm starts. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. Now, you might be impressed by this or that pastor's knowledge of the Bible. And there's definitely thankful for men and women who study the Bible. But you know what? As I as I live longer as a Christian, I'm more impressed with the Christian who has faithfully obeyed God longer than I have been alive. Again, if all you have is Bible knowledge, it just gives you an inflated head. I'm impressed and encouraged when Christians faithfully obey their Savior. So let us study the Bible. Let us know the Word. But we are not done unless we obey what we know. So let's go to the person who likes to do things. Doers can struggle to delight in the right things. So some of you are not happy unless you're doing something. And I'm grateful for people who get things done. It is very necessary. But there are a few ways that doers can go wrong. First, they can struggle to stop and say, am I doing the right things? They just feel like they need to be busy. But Psalm 119 is not blessing busyness. It's blessing those who obey the commands of God, specific ways we are to live for Him. The second way doers can go wrong is not to consider your feelings. The great thing about doers is that they just do things whether or not they like them. And that's fantastic. But God's word guides us in how our hearts relate to Him as well. And we'll see this and we'll cover it later in some other sermons. But notice a few verses of Psalm 119 and talks about our hearts and our feelings. Verse 20, my soul breaks. Other translations, is consumed. My heart is consumed or breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. Verse 97, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation day and night. Yeah, that's love language about God's word. Yes, obey God's word, but also work on and pray that you will have the right heart and feelings for His word as well. Number three, the feelers can struggle to do the hard things. Maybe you're one of those Christians that when things are going good in your life, you're an awesome Christian. Like, watch out. You're on fire for Jesus. But when the experience of following Jesus is hard, you slack and you feel like you're the worst Christian ever. You're not the kind of person that says, just do it. But that is what you must do. The blessing in these verses is not for the person who feels like obeying, but for the person who actually obeys God's commands. Yes, feelings do matter, but even when you don't feel like obeying Jesus, obey. Even when you feel the pain of obeying a particularly hard commandment, still obey. Jesus says something very similar to this, especially to verses 1 and 2. In Luke 11:27. So I'll read the account for you. As Jesus said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed. But he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. So if you're going to summarize our sermon today, the first 8 verses of Psalm 119, it would be what Jesus said. Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Now let's think about Jesus. There are many people that came to hear Jesus speak. Even his enemies would line up and listen to him speak. I mean, I'm glad you're here in church to hear from God's word. That's why we read it. That's why we sing it. That's why we preach it. But hearing the words of Jesus does not make you a follower of Jesus. You must obey what he says. So, dear friends, there are two ways that you can fool yourselves when it comes to obeying the commands of Jesus. This is my conclusion. Two ways you can fool yourselves when it comes to the commands of Jesus. First, it's to think that you can make it into heaven by obeying God's commands. Now, if you could obey God's law perfectly, he would welcome you into heaven. That's how it works. But no one can obey God's law perfectly because we're all sinners. To enter heaven, you need perfection. And Jesus came to earth to take the penalty for our sin, which is hell, the wrath of God. Jesus took that all for us. But Jesus also did something else. When he was alive, Jesus perfectly obeyed God's law for us. So that perfect record of righteousness that you need to get into heaven, Jesus offers you. So just cleaning up your act is not going to make you right with God. I'm glad when people clean up their act. It makes them a nicer person. But that's not going to get you into heaven. Only Jesus can. Trust him to save you. The penalty for your sins, Jesus paid for. And he offers you that perfect report card, if you will, so that you can enter into heaven. The second way we can fool ourselves is to think that once we have trusted Jesus, we can now live however we want. Well, I'm going to heaven. I trusted Jesus as my Savior. What does it matter? The fact is, we know we have become Christians if we obey Christ's commands. I'll say that again. We know we have become Christians if we obey Christ's commands. That is what 1 John 2 says. And by this we know we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. That is crystal clear, 1 John 2:3. And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Dear friends, don't fool yourselves. Only those who trust Jesus as their Savior are right with God. And those who have trusted Jesus as their Savior, they will live like him. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, I pray that you would help us to have integrated lives, that you would take every part of our lives and help us to submit it to your law, to your word. Father, I pray that we would not deceive ourselves. I pray that every Christian here would confirm that they have trusted Jesus in how they walk and how they live. Lord, I pray if there's any here that don't know Jesus, that you would work in their hearts so that they would trust Jesus to save them, not their own works. So, Father, I pray that you continue to work your word into our hearts by your Holy Spirit. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.